Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, we're going to move to number two on the Triple Dipper. We got to do this. One of the biggest stories of the decade, in my opinion, is this war in Ukraine, which is really, it is both confusing in terms of its military acumen, and it's also, it's just amazing to watch in terms of its devastation and humanitarian impacts. Copper clip five, go ahead and get clip five ready, please. We're going to use that here in just 1 minute or a few minutes. But so a number of updates for you is things that are happening. All right. So number one, a caller earlier in the show mentioned or asked about biolabs. There's this weird, like, okay, who's saying what? And by the way, the two of the top stories that are surrounding the war effort, all right? Two top stories that are surrounding the war effort. When I say surrounding, I'm talking about the geopolitical aspects of the war in Ukraine. Those things are surrounding the war. And then I'll talk about, too, what's happening in the war, what's happening with bombs and people and soldiers and all of it. But the two of the top stories that are surrounding the war right now, one involves the fighter jets being transferred from Poland, the MiG-29s, and then the other involves this question of biolabs. All right, biolabs. Let's take that one first. First of all, Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, just 2 days ago, on March the 8th, sat there in a Senate hearing, and when she was questioned by Senator Marco Rubio, she literally said that there are biolabs in Ukraine, and that they are monitoring and they are working with the Ukraine government to secure those because they do not want the Russians seizing those facilities. And she also said, by the way, they have us very concerned. Well, that raised a lot of eyebrows. Like, okay, what do we have over there? Well, then the story came out the next day. John Kirby, Admiral John Kirby, Pentagon spokesperson, stood up and said, there's no biolabs for us to worry about over there. That's hogwash. That's Russian disinformation. Okay, but listen, you both work for the same administration, so which one of you is telling the truth? Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland or retired Admiral John Kirby, Pentagon spokesperson? Because it is not adding up, and it's really irritating to see this constant back and forth, does the left hand know what the right hand's doing kind of thing going on in the Biden administration. They do this all the time. They have got to start synchronizing their sound bites. It does not bode well for them. Okay, so that being said, what is happening with this? Well, the latest of it is the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI, Avril Haines, says, we've seen no evidence that Ukraine is pursuing biological or nuclear weapons. Now, she did not deny that there are labs. She says that there are no U.S.-funded bioweapons being researched or prepared for concern. That Ukraine operates, in her words, a little over a dozen biolabs for biodefense. And biodefense does not mean military defense. Biodefense and public health reasons. In other words, they're the kind of labs where they just do research on medical issues. Okay, so why would the Undersecretary of State say that they're greatly concerned over this and don't want the Russians seizing those facilities? Why would the DOD then say, nothing to see here, nothing at all? And then the Director of National Intelligence comes out and says, yeah, well, they're there, but they're just not a big deal. They're not biological weapons manufacturing facilities. Her words, quote, we do not assess that Ukraine is pursuing either biological weapons or nuclear weapons. This influence campaign is consistent with longstanding Russian efforts to accuse the United States of sponsoring bioweapons research in the former Soviet Union. She says this is a classic move by the Russians. Maybe. But I do know this. The administration in charge of all this does not have their act together. Because when the Undersecretary of State and the Pentagon Chief Spokesperson and the Director of National Intelligence all provide three separate messages on the same thing, and it's the kind of thing that gets everybody's attention, that's a big deal. All right, so that's happening. Be aware. The next story in here, though, was one of the most confusing. So if you happen to see it, I think it was on the Sunday, the Sunday talk shows, I believe, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the man who presided over the Afghanistan debacle. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was questioned directly by a news anchor on one of the mainstream outlets as to the transfer of fighter jets. If a NATO country wants to transfer fighter jets to Ukraine, is the United States going to stand in the way of that? Because just prior to that, we had heard Senator Lindsey Graham say there was movement in that direction, but that the United States was the problem. We were standing in the way. Antony Blinken says, oh, no, they get the green light on that. Really? Well, that's interesting. Okay. So we're not going to get in the way then of the release of fighter jets from a NATO country to Ukraine. Come get your jets, boys. Lay it on thick. Bring the rain. And then it got weird because the next day or two, Poland, bordering Ukraine on the west, a NATO country, has a bunch of MiG-29s, and MiG-29s are fourth-generation fighter jets. They are current in their capabilities, let's put it that way. MiG-29s. And they say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we got a bunch of MiG-29s, and we are willing to give those to Ukraine. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to transfer them to the United States. We'll just sign them over to you, and we'll fly them out to your Air Force base at Ramstein in Germany. And everybody went, what the hey? So, you know, all of a sudden the Secretary of State says, oh, they got a green light for that. And then everybody went, you're gonna do what? I mean, did they think nobody was going to actually do it? I don't know. Well, it became this whole thing. So we went from the green light by the Secretary of State to the offer by Poland to actually do this, but they wanted to transfer them to us and let us hand them over. Go figure. And then it gets worse. Yesterday afternoon, the Secretary of Defense, by and through his spokesperson, Admiral John Kirby again, announced that, no, we're not doing this. Oh, we're not doing it. So we had a MiG-29 green light. Because listen, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you call a CAS mission on those that 40-mile convoy of military vehicles sitting outside of Kyiv right now, you call in close air support and lay it on thick, you're going to turn that into the highway of death. And that's a tactical opportunity right there, sitting there waiting to happen. Well, it was supposed to happen. And by the way, the Ukrainian Air Force, they're current. They fly MiGs. They fly MiG-29s. It's a transition that can happen in a short amount of time. You know, they'll check them out. They'll get their check rides. They'll make sure that they've got everything they need, fuel them up, fly them home. But now they would have to move through U.S. inventory in a next nation, which would be, you know, Germany. And apparently that was deemed unnecessary. Now, I had this conversation earlier today. Why is it okay that we would send Stingers and Javelins? You know, on the one hand, I guess I kind of get it a little bit. Stingers and Javelins are what they call fire and forget weapons, all right? They're a one shot, hopefully one kill. And once you fire those tubes, they're done. Dispose of them. A fighter jet, a MiG-29 in this case, is a recurring use weapon, all right? And it's a next level escalation of weaponry being provided. All that to say, what's interesting to me is General Jack Keane had himself a moment on TV. This is a retired four-star with a stellar military career. Copper, go ahead and get that clip and let me know if you're good. You good with it right now? General Jack Keane had himself a moment where he said, I cannot figure out, basically, he said he could not figure out what the Biden administration is doing, dithering on sending weapons. This clip's a little longer than the most of the ones I play. It lasts about, not quite 2 minutes. But let's go ahead and play it, Copper. General Jack Keane.
Well, I think if you ask the Ukrainians, that they would absolutely tell you, give us the fighters.
Right.
You know, and I'm getting to think that Putin is really getting inside the head of some of our leaders in the administration here. I mean, the pattern has been pretty profound, but I thought we were getting out of it. And by that, I mean, remember, back in March, they show up on the border of Ukraine, 70,000. A shipment is due to leave that month for Ukraine. Actually, it was President Trump's shipment. The Biden administration is in power for 90 days. What do? We delay it till August. They show up again in the fall after the Afghanistan debacle on Ukraine's border with 150,000. Another shipment is due to go. What do? We delay it. And the reason for both of those delays is the fear that we will provoke them into attacking into Ukraine. And we have similar issues. We didn't give them the stingers, Jesse, until last week. Other NATO countries have been giving us them stingers for months. And I believe, unstated reason, we didn't want to provoke them. Now here comes the Poles. They want to give them their fighters. They reneged on them providing the fighters directly to Ukraine. They said, send them over to a NATO base. And now the United States throws up their arms and says, no, that could provoke the Russians if we give them the fighters. That is a lot of nonsense. I mean, stingers, artillery pieces, anti-tank weapons, they're all there, Jesse. And why are we afraid that we're going to provoke the Russians here? It's nonsense. If we keep going down this ladder, it's going to tie our hands when the Ukrainians need everything that we can possibly give them to help them. We've already made the decision. We're not going to defend them, but let's help them with everything we got. Sure, these fighters would help. In of themselves, are they decisive? No, but no weapon system in of itself is decisive. It's the complement of all of them together that makes such a difference.
There you go.
General Jack Keane, thank you so much.
Let's go and stop it there, Copper. It's the complement of all the weapon systems together that becomes decisive. It's the proper employment of the weapon systems that becomes decisive. And when you say, we'll give you this destructive piece of lethal aid, but we won't give you this destructive piece of lethal aid, it literally makes no sense. You're worried about provoking the guy who's already provoked. Well, you didn't want to provoke him before, and he invaded anyway, didn't he? Well, Putin's going to bluster, and Putin's going to threaten and shake his fist no matter what we do. I said it before on the show, if we say the Ukrainian skies are blue, he would come back and say, you shall not say these things, or I will do something because the sky is not blue in Ukraine. Yes, it is. But, folks, listen. This has got to get, we got to have an administration that gets their act together and has a singular message. You know what? If you got a message, at least go with it. But right now, we can't even tell what the message is. And neither can the people of Ukraine. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. I know I ran that one about a minute long. But we'll come back here in just a minute, folks, and do a little more on Ukraine. And then top of the hour, we'll switch gears. One of my favorite times every single week, the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Oh, yeah. We'll see what kind of things we can come up with today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. This segment is going by way too fast. There's way too much to cover in Ukraine in the amount of time that apparently I allotted myself. So what may happen is we come back after the Grand Council and do a little more. But let me just tell you, there's one of the things that's happening on the ground. Well, it's not the ground, the air. One of the things that's happening that's mystifying Western military analysts right now is that there's a sort of a disconnect as to what was expected from Russia's Air Force as compared to what is being seen. Story right now off The Economist, this story dated today, today's date, says it's titled The Curious Case of Russia's Missing Air Force. Now, one of the first things you try to do in a military campaign is seize what's called air superiority. I mean, and by the way, the United States in our most recent wars, we've had no trouble with that. I mean, there was no Air Force to compete with us in Afghanistan. And basically, if you heard an airplane, it was ours. I remember once when I first got in country, the war was brand new, hearing the sound of a jet, looking up and watching an F-16 doing an air refuel by a KC-135 flying right over my head. And I thought, I am in a war zone. Look at that. But right now, everyone expected a nation like Russia, that's supposed to be one of our near-peer adversaries, to have an air force that would be able to seize air superiority perhaps on day one. Well, they haven't seized it. We're 2 weeks in. At all. Like, what in the world? One explanation that I've heard is that the Stinger missiles are causing a situation, all right? First of all, the Ukrainian Air Force is not to be sneezed at. These guys are capable pilots. They have capable aircraft comparable to those being flown by the Russians. And so as they drive them to a position of having to deal with a Ukrainian Air Force, what happens then is the Russian pilots then wind up having to come in at low level, trying to stay under radar to avoid detection. That also then, by the way, makes them more susceptible to Stinger missile fire. So when you've got both ground and air anti-air capability, well, apparently that's been working. And so like the Economist article says, it's the curious case of Russia's missing air force. And it's amazing to watch, because they've got Su-30s and Su-35s and Su-57s and Su-34 bombers. I mean, they're supposed to be the most advanced air force in all of Europe. But nobody can tell where it is right now and why they're not using it. The other thing on the ground right now for you to be aware of is that, if you recall, Russia had at some point amassed what was estimated to be upwards of 190,000 combat troops. Now, when I say combat troops, I'm talking about all of them. There, some of those were logistics, some of those were medical, some of those were support elements, intel elements. But other than that, I will say that basically 190,000 troops is 190,000 troops. Well, right now it's estimated that 90 to 95% of those are actually in Ukraine. In other words, he's kept very little reserve. For Putin to be using up his reserve in the first 2 weeks, leaving himself no buffer to call upon, is clearly an indication it's not going the way he thought it would go. Because you don't go all in with no reserve. You try to always keep something back in case you need to redeploy to another region, or to go and rescue someone, or to go and push, and to capitalize on a breach. No, right now, he doesn't have a breach. He's not capitalizing on any major victories. He doesn't seem to have a great deal of troop movement, but he has committed virtually all of his combat forces into Ukraine, and they appear to be going a little bit in the south, and they are stymied in the north. And meanwhile, the war continues. All right, folks, we're coming back in a minute with one of my favorite segments. Every single week we do this. My brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5, who just walked into the studio, and our own Dale Jackson. We call it the Grand Council. We'll be right back and pontificately on the air together with the Grand Council. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.